Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is so much good news as you wake up and get moving on this Tuesday morning, if that applies to you. A lot of the United States is waking up and trying to shake those cobwebs out. There's good news. First of all, it's not Monday anymore. It's Tuesday, which is great news for me. Only on Monday could I possibly fall asleep with my door wide open. I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I swear I'm not making it up. I was so tired on Monday morning after the full Sunday workday into the overnight and then having to get home and take care of the zoo and walk the dog. I was a zombie at that point. And somehow I got in the house. I left the door open so that Penny could look outside for a little bit, and then I forgot to close it. I literally climbed in bed, left the door wide open, and didn't even know it was open until Monday afternoon when I woke up. That only happens on the first day of the work week. It does not happen at any other time. So the good news is it's not Monday anymore. There's more good news. Are you ready? Today, Tuesday, exactly 3 weeks to Christmas. If you're a big Christmas fan, Christmas buff, you love this time of the year, maybe you're one of the people that does all your Christmas shopping in September. No. But there are 3 weeks. 3 weeks until Christmas. And we're also, I think, now entering the third day of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to those of you who celebrate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, because we're in the spirit. And by we, I mean me. I don't actually know if you're in the spirit. If you are, it'd be cool if you could tell me I'm not alone on my island. I am, for some reason, much earlier in the year in the Christmas spirit. Generally, I don't even think about decorating until about 10 days before Christmas. And then it takes me 3 days to decorate. And then by the time I feel comfortable with all the decorations, well, then Christmas has passed. Not this year. Nope. This year, the tree is already up on December 2nd. Boom. And even if I don't decorate it, I do anticipate decorating it. But even if I don't, it was worth it just to get the pungent smell of the balsam fir inside my house. And so I'm already in the Christmas spirit, and I've been thinking about Christmas movies and ones that would be fun to watch these upcoming weekends before we actually get to the holiday, before I have to travel. And I was thinking of my favorite Christmas movies, the ones that always immediately will put me in the holiday spirit. I've tweeted some of mine, A-Law Radio, and I've been asking you as our Twizzler Tuesday question, what are your favorite Christmas movies? I knew some of you would need to rank them, and so feel free to rank if you must. I know how we all feel about rankings, a sports fan. Some of you are obsessed with rankings, so hop to it. You've been blowing up our Facebook page, and I can barely keep up with all your Christmas movie suggestions, but some of them are unique, and so I want to make sure I go through them. So either way, Twizzler Tuesday, favorite Christmas movies. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As for our football theme on this Tuesday morning, well, it's a month left. That's it. It's a month left in the regular season. Now that we are done with week 13, completely through week 13, we've only got 4 weeks of games left. Everybody's on the same page now. Everybody's at the same speed, so to speak, because the bye weeks are all completely behind us. Everybody's got 4 games left. But obviously, this final month of the season can feel very different for teams like the Raiders and the Niners, who've been officially eliminated from postseason contention. Well, what are you doing? You're trying to audition young guys. You're trying to build and work on your depth for the future. If you're a player, you're trying not to get hurt. This would be a really bad time of the year to get hurt. That would stink in games that don't matter. Maybe you're playing the role of spoiler. As a coach, you're trying to keep your team together. You want them to keep playing hard, even though they're playing out the string. Then you've got teams that are trending up over the last 3-4 weeks. Whoa, they have completely turned their seasons around. Or in the case of the Super Bowl champions, they have resurrected their season. Their season was on life support 2 weeks ago. They were 4-6 and fading fast. Injuries piling up. They weren't coping with them nearly as well as they did during their Super Bowl run a year ago. And they knew it. They knew that these were desperate times. They knew that they had no choice. Either get the job done against these three consecutive NFC East opponents. So they're playing every single team in their division in 3 consecutive weeks. Get it done or get out. You might as well just hand over Vince Lombardi's trophy because that's the end of you and your run. And then they get down by double figures to the Giants in week 12. But a second half rally against New York and then Monday Night Football against the Redskins, an opportunity for them to get off life support, feel that pulse get a little stronger, and now put themselves right back in the conversation, which they did. We got to see the balanced Eagles. We got to see an Eagles team that not only is committed to the run game, but has a mobile, active, accurate quarterback, not a guy who's running. He's not scrambling. He's just using his legs to extend plays, the rollouts, the bootlegs, getting into a better position, maybe sidestepping a rush, though there wasn't a whole lot of a rush from the Washington Redskins. But a Carson Wentz who looks confident and sure-footed. They don't want to put him in a position where he's running anymore. That's not a smart idea. But he's athletic and he's big and he can extend plays and he can make it more difficult for a defense that has to keep track of him. And so the run game that they're committed to with Josh Adams now being their number one guy, but adding Darren Sproles back in that mix, his first game since the season opener and his first touchdown in nearly a year. Do you know he hadn't scored? Darren Sproles, we're talking about, hadn't scored since mid-December of last year. He's had a ton of injuries. Well, when he's healthy, he is so difficult to bring down. He's so difficult to keep track of. You think you see him, you think you got him, and then, whoops, he's gone. And how about a Golden Tate that just got in from Detroit about a month ago, and now you could see how involved and how critical he has become to the offense.
Shotgun snap. He fakes the handoff. He looks. He bounces up and down. He rolls. He runs to the 10. He throws on the run in the corner. It's a belt high falling down. Catch in the end zone. Grabbed by Golden Tate. He threads a needle. Wentz with a short touchdown pass. And the Eagles have scored first.
Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network. First Philadelphia touchdown for Tate, but also he was 7 for 7. 7 targets, 7 catches, nearly 100 yards. He opens things up for Zach Ertz, who has set the Eagles' single-season mark for receptions. 93 of them, and he's closing in on the NFL record, which belonged to Jason Witten. If you watch Monday Night Football, you heard about it more than once. And so you've got a Zach Ertz who's productive. But a Jordan Matthews, who not only catches a touchdown, but a 2-point conversion. Some pretty incredible feats of strength for him. Carson spreading the ball around, but also staying committed to the run in that offense. It looked smooth, and it hasn't looked that way. I know they came away empty twice inside the red zone. In fact, forget the red zone. They came away empty twice inside the 5-yard line. So not only was there a goal line stand by the Redskins on a 4th and 1, but also Wentz throws a touchdown from the, or a touchdown, an interception from the, it was a touchdown to the wrong team, an interception from the 5-yard line. So 2 possessions where they come away completely empty, and yet they still manage their second highest point total of the season at 28. And so on offense, it looked like they're in a rhythm. It looked like they're in a groove. And the Redskins defense has been spotty, inconsistent at best. And that's at best. You could come up with a lot of other ways to describe the Redskins defense. But it's the offense that's getting a lot of the attention. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Eagles, they're trending up. They've won back-to-back games. Do you know what? They're just a smidge behind the Cowboys in the NFC East. Those two teams match up next week in a nationally televised game. It's the later window on Sunday afternoon. As for the Redskins, gosh, trending low, low, low. How low can you go? They started out the season 5-2, and it's painful. By all accounts, the locker room was more like a funeral, like a eulogy after their loss. Not only is Alex Smith trying to recover from a devastating broken leg, but then Colt McCoy, early second quarter. He's out on the edge, and both of his ankles seem to give way, and he ends up breaking his leg too. So they had one highlight, Mark Sanchez. It's like a blast from the past. Mark Sanchez comes in to relieve Colt McCoy. Hands off. Very first handoff. Very first snap for Sanchez. And Adrian Peterson goes 90 yards. It's one of our candidates for touchdown of the week. You can find that poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS. And so Adrian Peterson goes 90 yards, and I'm thinking, wow, okay. I mean, I do tell you all the time about the Redskins. They don't have any choices. They can't get fancy. They need to stick with what works. And generally, they're good at running the ball and stopping the run. Well, nobody stopped Adrian Peterson. He went 90 yards, but that was really the highlight. Sanchez barely knows the playbook. I mean, like 15 plays is what they were talking about because he's only been there for a couple of weeks. And so this is brutal. The defense has no excuses. The injuries to the offense have been devastating for the Redskins. It's been painful to watch. It's been painful to see them slip backwards. The defense doesn't have that excuse. And so instead now you've got the Redskins trending the wrong way where they were on top of that NFC East for the first half of the year. Mark Sanchez, 13 of 21. 100 yards and an interception, and he's now a starter of an NFL team for the first time since 2015.
It was a tall task, no doubt. But, you know, there's no excuses to make. You just do your very best, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. I was praying for an opportunity, and I thank God for the opportunity. You just never want it under these circumstances.
I think we can come up with a plan. You know, Mark's played a lot of football. He's won playoff games. He can function at quarterback. We can get some things done. I just challenged our defensive special teams. We're going to have to play great defensive special teams, which, you know, special teams played pretty good tonight, but defensively, we got to play better.
It's unfortunate, man. You know, just losing Alex a couple weeks ago. Then I don't know how severe it is, but I know that Colt, he's a champion, so he would have came back in. You know, what can you do? You know, you have to just continue to press forward. I think Sanchez, he came in and, you know, did what they asked him to do.
Adrian Peterson, Jay Gruden, Mark Sanchez before that. So they've got a month. They got a month to work through it. It's going to suck. It sucked for the fans, too. Meanwhile, for the Eagles, things look a whole lot different. Now, they hadn't adjusted well with all of the injuries. But it seems like, A, they're getting a little healthier, but also they were hanging by a thread. And the character and the leadership of this team, the same character and leadership that led them through the adversity this time last year, I don't think that can be overstated. I don't think the experience of losing your starting quarterback, having a bunch of guys get injured last year, figuring out a way to win, that wisdom, I don't think that can be overvalued, overstated, and how important it is now that they're facing a lot of that same adversity and literally we're down to their last chance.
This group doesn't let a lot bother them. And I think what you've seen now at these last couple of weeks, we've started to get some guys back healthy a little bit. You know, we're not there yet, but we're getting close. And I think things are kind of clicking a little bit.
We're really kind of playing well together, meshing together, kind of doing what we do best, you know, running the ball, kind of relying on those big guys up front from play actions, nakeds, boots, trying to stay on the field on third downs. You know, we got to clean up some things in the red zone for sure. But things are, you know, we left some plays out there, no doubt, but we're kind of starting to kind of mesh a little bit offensively.
Wentz over 300 yards, couple of touchdowns, did have the Josh Norman interception. Josh Adams spurring that run game over 130 as a team. Golden Tate really involved. He's right. They're starting to gel on offense, and better late than never. The champs are not dead yet. So Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, in case you didn't recognize their voices, 855-212-4227. If you missed my conversation with Craig Hoffman of 106.7 The Fan in D.C., I don't know that we delivered a eulogy, but it's a completely different mood around the Redskins than it was a month ago. And I asked him whether or not he feels like a drastic change, a drastic move by Daniel Snyder is in the works. So if you missed that... Adrian, if you missed that, you can catch it on our podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. Coming up, a lot of talking out of Green Bay in the hours after Mike McCarthy is fired as head coach. Aaron Rodgers is asked if he had anything to do with it, and will he have anything to do with the hiring of the new head coach? Mark Murphy, Aaron Rodgers speaks. We've got your calls in line, too, 855-212-4227. Our Twizzler Tuesday question, your favorite Christmas movies. Because why not? It's 3 weeks away. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This is to be a 49-yard field goal attempt. Here's the snap, placement, kick end over end to the uprights, and it is no good.
Oh, my word.
The Arizona Cardinals have defeated the Green Bay Packers 20-17. Oh, my.
That's enough to make you sick.
When evaluating the season, I really felt that change was needed. And kind of Mike's tenure had run its course. I think we needed a new voice. And, it happens in our league.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I would agree with Mark Murphy on that count, that change every now and then certainly is necessary. It's not a bad thing. It's unfortunate that someone has to lose his job, but we see it in the corporate world all the time, a fresh voice, a new direction with leadership. Again, not bad in and of itself. I still dislike the way that Mike McCarthy was let go following their loss to the Cardinals at Lambeau Field. And you heard that final call with Wayne Larrivee and Larry McCarron. As sick as they felt in making the call, you can imagine that's how sick the Packers inside their locker room, the coaching staff for sure, they felt the same way. And Mark Murphy decided he didn't want to wait any longer. I have heard some speculation that potentially he gave Mike McCarthy an option. Do you want to play out the string? Do you want to leave? But that's not been confirmed. Most of what I've heard is that McCarthy was blindsided by it and that a lot of longtime members of the Packers family felt the same way. They couldn't believe that it was done before the season ended. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to your calls here and some of your responses about favorite Christmas movies. Honestly, some of these I hadn't thought about in years, and so I'm feeling very inspired, cinematically inspired, if you will. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, you're very, very active. But Mark Murphy says change was needed. Okay, but what about Aaron Rodgers? Because that is, in its most simplistic form, what people are boiling this down to. Rodgers versus Mike McCarthy. It's not that simple. But I've even heard Mark Chimera, who's a former Packers tight end, a great Packers tight end, say Aaron Rodgers just got his coach fired. And that's someone from inside the Packers family talking about how Rodgers doesn't come out of this unscathed. So is that the case? Mark Murphy says absolutely not.
Aaron and Mike, I mean, they had a great run together. I mean, they won an awful lot of games together, including the Super Bowl and the playoffs that we talked about. And, you know, this decision, it's not about, you know, one player. I mean, this is what's best for the Packer team, Packer organization.
Well, I hope that's not the reason. I think him and I, like any relationship, we have our amazing times. We have our times where we butt heads. But the basis, like I said, was built on mutual respect and communication. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time here talking off the field at my house or his house, spending time together and growing in our friendship. And We accomplished a lot together. I mean, we've had some incredible moments. Just personally, you know, the things that I'm always think about and appreciative of.
You don't have to be best friends with the people you work with, but if it starts to affect the quality of the work, that's when it becomes a concern. If your relationship starts to affect the quality of the work, and by some accounts, that's what was happening with Rodgers and McCarthy. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more I want you to hear. James Jones, former Packers receiver, was a guest on NFL Network after he spoke to Aaron in the wake of Mike McCarthy losing his job.
I said, what kind of coach do you want? And he said, you know, it doesn't really matter. He said, what do you think I need? And I said, everybody's saying offense, offense, offense. I think Aaron will be great with a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Come in there with your offensive coordinator. Like, say if you kept a Philbin that he respected, relationship
yeah,
is Philbin's great
been there
with.
For a long time,
yes.
Right?
Yep. And you get a defensive-minded coach that don't got his hands on none of the offense. You and Philbin score points, I'm going to make sure you have a top-10 defense. I think Aaron Rodgers will succeed with that in the organization than having just an offensive guy coming there, bringing in a new plan, switching up what Aaron has done for 14 years, bringing a defensive-minded coach in there. Aaron Rodgers and Joe Philbin or whoever the OC may be have their relationship, score points, and get the best out of Aaron yeah. Rodgers. I think that'll work well.
It was James Jones after speaking to Aaron on the NFL Network. I kind of wondered if he said, hey, do you mind if I turn around and share this on national television? So then you would expect that Aaron would be a little more cryptic. 855-212-4227. Let's do one quick call here. Vaughn is in the Bay Area. Welcome to After Hours.
How's it, Amy?
Good.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Great to hear. I just want to talk a little bit about a couple things. As far as the Packers, just real quick, chime in on that. I know McCarthy kind of ran his path on that. He's been there a long time, but Super Bowl ring, got to be credited. But Mason Crosby didn't help at all this year. Now, let's not get him two games for losing two games. Mason Crosby didn't help. But he's been a stalwart there for many years, but he didn't help this year. And then I just want to chime in about the Chargers and Rams, if you don't mind.
Nope.
Cool. I know it's battle for L.A. Obviously, the Chargers can always fail. They came from San Diego. They don't have the history. If I'm correct, the L.A. Rams are the first professional franchise on the West Coast in L.A., besides all the teams. And so they've got some history there. And so I'm so happy for both of them to be doing what they're doing right now. And so big win in Pittsburgh for the Chargers, which usually doesn't do big wins. That was exciting. Going to the East Coast, and the Rams are kicking ass on the West Coast. Great. And one more thing I got to say about the Christmas movies, if you don't want me chiming in.
Really quick, really quick.
The Jimmy Stewart movie, what was that? Was that the 38th Street?
Is that the It's a Wonderful Life? Is that
I got to go with that one, number one.
Okay.
I got to go with Christmas Vacation, number two, and Die Hard, number three.
I like it. Thanks, Vaughn.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Amy.
855-212-4227. We'll get to more of your calls, more of your reaction. Also, it's not just the Packers who made a major change among their coaching ranks in the last couple of days. Nope. In the wake of week 13, the Panthers did the same thing. They've lost four in a row. They're definitely trending south. We've got Brad Heller here in studio. Brad, are you a fan of Christmas movies?
Of course.
What's your favorite?
So Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Well, it is if you want it to be. Some people say it is. Some people say it's not.
Okay, because I would go Christmas Story, be traditional, but Die Hard is obviously amazing. So if that's
amazing.
In the Christmas movie category, I'd put that first.
Do you want it to be?
I mean, how can it not
be? Does it make you think of Christmas?
Well, when you put it that way, not necessarily. I mean, it's great no matter what category. I think it doesn't have to be in a category. It's just amazing.
As someone who loves improv, are you not impressed with Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation?
Well, yeah, that's amazing also. Something about
favorite.
A Christmas Story, the fact that it's on 24 hours the entire
true.
Day.
That's true.
And you can always see it. I mean, you know, you can see any point during the day, whatever.
Same thing with A Christmas Carol. It just rolls in a loop, or it's on like multiple channels. It's just out there.
I'm okay
over
with
and
that.
Over.
Some people get sick of it. No. You mean then change the channel.
That's right. You can tune in, you can tune out, but that's part of family tradition. All right, cool. Those are some good ideas as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What I'm trying to say is, Rudolph
with your nose so bright. Won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It will be an honor, sir.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mean, that's cute. Now I'm all ready to go home and watch a bunch of Christmas movies and not write my weekly column. Of course, that will not suffice for the company, nor will it suffice for the paycheck. Let's see. I saw this before, the date that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out, the year was 1964. Wowzers. That's the claymation one. I think there have been others, cartoons, since then. I do like Frosty the Snowman. Nobody mentioned that. That's an old one that predates me and pretty much everyone here who's on the show. I'm trying to think about anybody in the newsroom that might predate Frosty. That was the late 60s. I guess there's one or two people. I do like some of the cartoons, but I'm about the original Christmas Carol. Definitely like How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Big fan of Christmas Vacation and Chevy Chase. And I know he's got a bunch of movies in which he's amazing, but Christmas Vacation's my favorite. The Polar Express, because I love Tom Hanks. He's my all-time favorite actor. Home Alone, that one, to me, feels like a Christmas flick, and it's been out a really long time, too. And then Sound of Music, which isn't necessarily a Christmas movie, but like some of you are indicating with Die Hard, came out around Christmas. There's a winter theme to it. It feels like it to me because we used to watch it all the time in December. I'm not a big fan of the remakes. I feel like remakes can be cheesy, but some of the classics and the originals, they're worth pulling out and dusting off, blowing off the dust this time of the year. It's After Hours, a Twizzler Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What are your favorite Christmas movies? Our Facebook page, too. Let's go back to our phones, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico toll-free with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Again, that's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Mabby is in Teterboro, Canada. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you so very much for having my caller.
You're welcome.
You were talking earlier about Sully and 41 and the dog loving the owner. I've got a flip side of that. My sister's dog just died today.
Oh.
And her children are just devastated. So I was wondering if you have any advice on how to handle that situation.
No, I don't, other than to say that it was worth every second that you had with the dog. I mean, that's kind of the idea, right? We decide as families, as people, that it's going to be worth going through that pain because we had so many amazing times with the animal, with the dog. And it's a really painful lesson to learn, right? That that death is a part of life. And yet I feel like with pets, when you have one that you love so much that becomes a part of the family, you wouldn't trade it. As much as it hurts and as much as it pierces your soul, you wouldn't trade it because it was totally worth that time.
Right, right. Like her son did a social studies paper on what makes his home, what makes his house a home. And the first thing he mentioned was their dog.
Oh,
and now it's gone.
Yeah, that's so hard. I know it is. And there's no way around it either. As dog owners, as pet owners, we all know it's coming at some point. There's literally no way around it.
Right.
And yet we still do it.
But that's not nearly the same.
I don't know. I mean, I've got a cat I've had since she was 3 weeks old. I've had her for almost 17 years, and I'm pretty attached to her. She's been with me all over this country. So, no, I don't walk the cat, but it's, you know, we can get attached to them, too.
And in terms of Christmas movies, mm-hmm. I'll keep with the theme of not necessarily being super uplifting, but an overlooked one is The Little Match Girl.
I don't think I've ever heard of that. Nope.
Oh, it's a story about a little girl who sells matches in, like, the freezing cold.
Oh. Is it an older movie?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, like, an 1840s, like, written...
Black and
written
white.
...story. But it might be claymation eventually.
Oh.
But, yeah, she might end up freezing in a vestibule.
Oh, I mean, there are some 19. Oh, my producer looked it up, Mabby. There, it's 1928. There are some that are poor, that have a poor theme. But to kind of underscore the idea that Christmas is not about how much you have or how much money you can spend and how many presents under your tree, that's kind of the idea behind It's a Wonderful Life, is being rich even though you are poor. So I can certainly understand that. Thank you so much for your phone call. It's good to talk to you.
You as well.
Bob is in Iowa. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good.
I would like to say that my favorite Christmas movie is Lethal Weapon.
Okay. Did it come out at Christmas time?
No, but it's a Christmas-themed movie.
Oh.
It happens during Christmas time. It's with Mel Gibson, Danny Glover.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I just don't happen to remember the Christmas theme, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it was all Christmas. And then I'd like to weigh in about football, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Bears fan. Been a Bears fan my entire life. And I'll just say that Jim Rome said it best. He goes, one other team in the NFL can score 10 points in 1 minute, 18 seconds. He said he'd like to see it.
It depends on who you're playing, but it's not as though it's never happened before. The Giants definitely helped. That whole onside kick business, that was a disaster. So I say that the good thing about the Bears is that they can hurt you a variety of ways. We know about that defense. They got a bunch of ball hawks and only got better with Khalil Mack. But I feel like more importantly than that, Bob, they found their identity for the first time since Brian Urlacher retired. I didn't like the tone of their defense for years. I didn't feel like they had that identity. And now they've got it back again, which is cool. They're fierce. And even without Mitch Trubisky, they still have some really quality running backs and other playmakers that, that are helping to toe that line until he gets back. So, yeah, they're a dangerous team for sure.
Yeah, I thought Chase did good, but, he's not Trubisky, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's a backup. He is what he is, but the idea is to kind of use the other guys, especially that run game. The run game can be really dominant.
That's true. You have a Merry Christmas, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Bob. Good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. Oh, I meant to mention, but I jumped from one call into another. If you didn't know who Sully is President Bush's dog. His service dog who hadn't been with him long. But there are a bunch of pictures of them, later in President Bush's life, these last few months with the dog. And then there was a picture that was put out by his spokesperson that has Sully laying in front of the casket. This is before it got to the Capitol Rotunda. So it would have been yesterday morning or sometime over the weekend. And it really gripped me because as we're talking about, the dog is so loyal and they always seem to know. They can sense. They kind of know. And there's Sully, a picture of Sully laying in front of the casket. And I tweeted it, or it retweeted it, and a bunch of you responded. And there's actually a video, too, that CBS News did. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet because not a good idea to be all teary-eyed when I'm on the radio. But Chris put it out with our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you wanted to check it out so you can see more about Sully and the relationship he had with President Bush. David is in Dallas. David, welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
I want to tell my favorite Christmas movie is Elf with Will Ferrell. I think it's hilarious.
is hilarious.
but I wanted to talk a little bit about the Cowboys coaching situation.
Still?
I'm not a fan of Garrett at all.
There's a shock.
I think he's awful at what he does and he claps a lot, but...
Oh, so
really...
because he claps a lot, that means he's awful at what he does. Stop it. Don't be petty. If you want to call up and you want to talk about the head coach and how you think they need to change, fine. But don't be petty because then you sound like you're just being a biased fan.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not. I've been a Cowboy fan since I was 3 years old. I love the Cowboys. I think Chris Richard is a good fit for the Cowboys. And I just want to know what you think about him because I respect your opinion.
Well, I appreciate that, but I really don't have any context to give you a reply based on head coach. I mean, it's a crapshoot. No matter what they've done on their resume, if these guys have never coached in the NFL, being the man in charge, it's a completely different animal because you're not only in charge of everybody else, you're the mouthpiece, you're the face, you're the one who has to stand there in front of the media. I mean, there's so many extra responsibilities and demands on your time, and the buck stops with you, so the pressure is amped up as well. So for guys who've never done it before, it's hard to evaluate. But I will say, I don't know that you're going to see a change. Like it or not, David, if they end up winning the NFC East, maybe they win a playoff game. We'll see what happens. There's still a month left to go. But if they make the playoffs, I'm not sure Jerry Jones is going to make the change.
I agree with you. And I think everybody here in Dallas is ready for a change, though. And I appreciate you taking my call, well, and you have a Merry Christmas.
I don't know that you can speak for everybody in Dallas, but the most important guy is Jerry Jones, and I'm not sure he's ready, but thank you. Also, I hope that Jason Garrett claps extra hard and extra long just for you this weekend, next weekend against the Eagles. Let's talk to Jack, who's in Baltimore. Jack, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to send my condolences out to the Bush family.
I know.
Thoughts and prayers go out to their family with their loss. But on the football side of things, what has happened to the Steelers? They can't cover. And, I mean, their defensive line has been good but not great. And I don't understand why Ben's throwing so many interceptions with the all-pro offensive line that we have. I just don't understand all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's been their Achilles heel. The Achilles heel is that they have far too many giveaways, and they actually have a minus number when it comes to turnover differential. And that's rare. They're among the bottom. The last I looked, they were among the bottom six in the NFL. I haven't looked with this past weekend, but it certainly has been a problem for them. If there's a fatal flaw, that's it. They don't produce enough turnovers with their defense, and they're giving the ball away too much. And I know Ben is not going to apologize for being a gunslinger and throwing bad passes, but it's still, it behooves him, and it's also his responsibility to take care of the football, because when you don't, then what happens? You put your defense in a bad position, right? You force them out there on the field for extra snaps, and likely it's a short field. In many cases, it's a short field, so you're not doing your defense any favors. You put yourself in a hole, and against the Broncos, that's exactly how the tide turned. There were three turnovers in the second half against Denver when Pittsburgh was up, and the first two, the Broncos turned around and scored touchdowns. So they had 14 points off turnovers in the second half. And one of those drives, if I'm not mistaken, was like an 87-yard drive that consumed a bunch of minutes off the clock, and it left the Steelers in a really difficult position. And so I know that Ben's not going to apologize for him, and he certainly has got a Hall of Fame resume, but it's also up to him as a veteran, as the leader, to not put his team in such a bad position like that.
Right. And another guy that hasn't gotten a lot of credit this year for making tackles is our nose tackle, Jonathan Hargrave. He's a really, really good tackle. But good. He doesn't get the credit.
Good. Well, I mean, I think they'd rather be winning than guys getting individual credit. They've got to right the ship pretty quickly. And I would agree with you. The defense has got to come up with more takeaways, and the offense has got to stop turning the ball over. Jack, thank you so much. I can imagine it's fun being a Steelers fan in Baltimore. Good for you. Way to stand on your own two feet. I like it. Chris just looked this up, so we have the updated numbers. Thank you, Chris. Pittsburgh is a -8 in turnover differential, and they have not moved. They're still tied for 26th in the league, meaning bottom six, meaning among the worst in the league. Thank you so much for all of your tweets and your Facebook posts. I love it. I love how many of you are bucking the trend. You're saying Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I like it. And so you can keep those tweets coming. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. Let's see. Elf, Polar Express, Nightmare Before Christmas. Fred Claus, It's a Wonderful Life. Jesse says The Ultimate Gift is a really good movie. Don't think many people know about it. How many of you have sent me gifts of Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation? Home Alone, Rudolph, It's Turbo Time. I don't know where someone is telling me that's from a Christmas movie, but I have no idea what that is. Grinch with Jim Carrey, for sure. White Christmas with Bing Crosby. There's so many good ones. All right, I'm not here tonight, but I'll talk to you on Wednesday night after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.